Thank you for tuning in to the She Words podcast. She Words are just myself, Felicia Ramsey, sharing with you what God is speaking to me through me as a woman. She Words are motivational messages on motherhood, marriage, and mentorship. Welcome to today's She Words podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the last She Words podcast under Ask Alicia, our question of the day was, how do you know your worth? Who truly helped you to see your worth and know how worthy you are? I know that our topic for today is the morning after, but I want to start out with some positive motivation for you to hear what this young lady says about how she was able to understand her worth. Tasha is 44 years of age and she has one child. And Tasha says this about knowing her worth, who taught her her worth. My mother, who is my hero, told me my worth. She told me I was smart. She told me I was pretty. She told me I could do anything and be anything I wanted. I believed it and I strived for it. My family made me feel like I matter. Although we didn't have much when I was little, I understand that too, Tasha. I felt like there was nothing that I could not do. This helped me with my entire life and my career. This allowed me to be free and to be honest and passionate about what I wanted. I feel valued whether at home or in the boardroom or giving a presentation. You go, girl. Someone told me once, just your presence or you being here in the room makes all the difference. I thought me, little old me, makes someone feel confident with just my presence. Wow. So thank you, Mom, for all you have told me and taught me, instilled in me. Most importantly, for believing in me. Tasha, that was amazing. She has taught you your worth. You know your worth. And you did a wonderful job pinning that for us. Remember, if you want to answer the question of the day or you want to be a part of Ask Alicia, you can email us at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com. aramseyconsulting@gmail.com, or subscribe to us, or should I say connect with us, on Facebook, She Words on Facebook. Look it up and make sure you connect for Ask Alicia. Well, I am truly touched today because the guest that I have to have a discussion with is someone that I know personally. Not only do I know her personally, but I know her spouse, I know her children. I am able to reach out to her when I have a need in this area. And I've seen her in action as I've lost people that were close to me. Today's topic, the morning after. Several months ago, it was placed on my heart to teach a lesson on the morning after. During this COVID pandemic, the world pandemic, during this thing that we're dealing with right now, there are so many people that have lost loved ones. And how do you move forward after losing someone that you love, especially if you lose someone suddenly? I've dealt with grief personally. I've lost my father 5 years ago, lost someone close to me who I like to call a spiritual daughter a couple of years ago. I've lost my grandparents. So I've dealt with that. And as a pastor's wife, it's not always easy to comfort people during grieving times. So I've reached out to people like Felicia, who you're going to meet today, to find out what tips, how can I support people the morning after the worst day of their life. So whenever we have a special guest, we like to tell them to introduce themselves. Remember I told you about on the schoolyard? Introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. Did you do that on the schoolyard, Felicia?
Yes, we did.
You did? And did you do the double dust? Did you do the hand clapping? Did you get in the middle of the circle? How did y'all do that on the playground?
We did the double dutch and we also did the hand clapping. My name is Felicia. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We did that.
Yes. Yeah. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. So tell them a little bit about yourself, Felicia.
First of all, thank you for inviting me to be a part of this platform to speak on grief and loss. My name is Felicia Bates, and I am a licensed clinical social worker for the state of Indiana. I am credentialed to work with sex abuse trauma. I'm excited to be a doctoral candidate at North Central University.
Yay!
I have 25 years experience in the field of social work, and I have worked in an array of fields. To mention a few, I worked with the homeless population, women and children. I love veterans. I worked with homeless veterans for years. Sex abuse trauma victims and offenders that are 18 and younger, I've worked with. I've been a family therapist and a school-based therapist. I'm working specifically with trauma focus, cognitive behavior. And the past 5 years, I have been working specifically as a hospice social worker. And that I have experienced and been there for people who are at their end of life, and not just for with them, I've been there for their families as well. So
yes,
to dive into grief and loss and to be there for them at the end of life has been my last 5 years of experience.
Yes. And you're married and you have children?
Yes, I am. I'm also have been married to my husband for 22 years, and during this union, we have three wonderful children, a 19-year-old, 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Yes, two girls and a boy. Lord bless you. Two girls and a boy. So, Felicia, I love how God has allowed you the opportunity to not just be educated in this field, but to be truly gifted in the area of helping people to understand how to deal with grief. When you think about what is going on in the world today, how did this pandemic change what you do each and every day?
Well, I think it changed drastically because being a hospice social worker, I am the emotion that comes in the room. I give permission to feel. I am the what we consider like the five senses. I am the touch. I'm the ear. I can feel and allow us to see. So when the pandemic came about, you know, the restrictions of being able to touch someone. So here I am in the room with someone who is about to take their last breath and their loved one is there. So I am the piece that can say, okay, let me grab your hand. Let me give you a hug. You can cry on my shoulder. Whatever that emotion that you feel in this moment, you have permission to just be. It really restricted that ability because I am that sense in the room where the nurses are the medical side of it and taking care. So I deal with that emotion. So during this pandemic, it has truly been a challenge.
Yeah.
Because some of the building that we were able to go in and visit, we were restricted. So then you could be on the phone, but it's just it's a different concept. So
I love the way you said that, Felicia. You give people the permission to feel. Because what happens to our bodies as we are the family waiting for a loved one to transition? Why is it that we need that permission?
I'll put it in this sense. I feel like when situations come in our house, per se, we as humans are used to just adjusting to the situation. So here, I've been diagnosed with a disease like cancer, and I've been given 6 months to live. Okay, that is the situation that comes in the house. So now what we do, we adjust. So as caretakers, as loved ones, we start taking care of that person. So we don't have permission to feel what we feel about this or what emotions. I have to set my emotions aside and I need to just take care of this loved one.
Right.
So we adjust to the situation, but when I come in as a hospice social worker, I give you permission to feel. I feel some type of way. I might not understand what I'm feeling in this moment because, you know, it's like an array of emotions that you can be feeling sad. You could be angry. You could be just frustrated. You could be tired. You could be like hurt at the fact that, wait a minute, I'm not ready to say goodbye. I'm not ready for this to happen, but I don't have control. So I'm that emotion that I give you permission to feel whatever it is in this moment that you feel.
Is there a right or wrong? You know, someone may be listening to us right now on this podcast and they may have just lost a loved one or they're dealing with the situation now where they've been told that a loved one will be dying soon. How are they supposed to feel? Is there a right or wrong way to deal with their feelings?
I wouldn't say there's a right or wrong way to deal with it.
Okay.
I would say how you feel, there's not a right or wrong way to feel.
Okay.
If I'm angry, I can be angry. If I'm sad in this moment, I could feel sad. If I want to yell and I want to scream, I could respond that way in whatever I feel. So sometimes we are not allowed to share that emotion or have those feelings. So what I say to whoever that loved one is, or even the person that is at their end of life, you can feel this. It's okay. For instance, I had a patient that was trying to be strong, and her strength, she refused to cry. You know, so when I came in, it was April, and she was given 4 months after being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she was trying to be strong for her children. And so when I explained my purpose, I'm your social worker. She said, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I said, I give you permission and I'm here to hear your voice and whatever it is that you need and whatever it is that however you feel, whatever, I'm giving you permission to just be.
Yes.
And then that's when she said, oh. And I said, well, you know, you just got diagnosed this. You had to be uprooted from your home, move, and now are stricken with this disease. How do you feel about this?
Right.
And she said, oh, I could tell you how I feel.
Yeah, yes.
And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, to be honest, you know, I know God and I trust God and I'm not afraid of dying, but why right now?
Yes. And that is okay to have that question because, you know, as we've shared with people on the podcast, I am a Christian and I know Felicia is a Christian as well. So you're dealing with that when people wrestle with when they have questions, they have a question for God. They don't understand why they're going through what they're going through. How do you balance that as a Christian and then in your occupation?
Well, and what I do is allow them to just express what the truth is. You know, growing up as a Christian, some would say, oh, you never question God or you never ask a question. And I explain, you know, we all wrestle with what our truth is.
Yes.
And just to express your truth doesn't mean you're questioning anything.
Yes.
Or you don't trust who you believe in. But if it's your truth, like the word say, the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
Express your truth, then it allows you not to be stuck in the inability to move, you know, because like what I say grief is, it's like riding a roller coaster ride and having the inability to get off.
Oh, my goodness. And I don't like roller coasters. Yeah, I don't like them. So you're right. You can't get off.
Yeah, and I've heard some people say, well, if you grieve wrong, you grieve long. And that roller coaster ride and the inability to get off, and we can have questions or we could be feeling something, and if we don't acknowledge this, then we can get stuck.
And we definitely can, and that is one of the reasons why we're sharing this. And if you have a story that you want to share about dealing with grief or how you handle grief, please make sure that you email us at aramseyconsulting@gmail.com. aramseyconsulting shewordsconsulting@gmail.com, or you can go to the She Words Facebook page and share your story with us there. One thing that I know what the word says, the word of God, when I say the word, I mean the Bible, and it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And many times as Christians, we feel like there's going to be this quick fix when you lose someone you love. You may be okay the next day, but you may cry 5 days later. You may cry 6 months later. Is that okay?
It is okay. One thing that I struggle with in being a hospice social worker, a lot of times we don't have the knowledge of knowing how do we go through a process, or how do we move in grief, or what is grief and what do I do? Because the experience of losing a loved one is not something that comes very often in life.
Right.
And so when my experience comes and it's my time to have this type of experience, what do I do? Well, a lot of times we've not been taught or we don't have the knowledge of how to move within this process. What do I do? And, you know, like, what is grief? Grief is the brain reaction to the loss.
Mm.
So it's the hormonal chemical reaction that is released in your brain trying to adjust to a loss.
Yes.
Like I said, getting on a roller coaster ride and you're on a ride, but you have the inability to get off. So now my brain has been shocked because I'm rejecting this loss. What do you mean? I can't touch or see or hear, taste or feel this person or my loved one? What do you mean? My brain is like rejected. I know all the good memories or all the things that I know that I have, because losing someone, that's an experience. But sharing, especially if it's a mother or a father or a child or a brother or sister or sibling, someone you have relationship with for years, that's a difference. You have all kind of memories. So now your brain is saying, wait a minute, nope, I'm rejecting losing them. That's what grief is.
And do you feel, is there a difference between in the grief when you lose someone suddenly or when you watch someone die over a period of time? I know for me, we knew for over 19 years that my father had MS, multiple sclerosis, and we watched the deterioration slowly over many, many years. And then all of a sudden, that last year, it just seems like all of a sudden, think he was losing, you know, his ability to talk, ability to walk, ability to speak, like everything was gone. Is there a difference between if you lose someone suddenly in a murder or a car accident, or if it's a long period of time?
There is a difference. When you're losing someone suddenly, your brain is shocked. There's a chemical. It always happens. But your mourning, which is something different than, which is a part of grief, but it's different than, that's how you cope with the loss.
Okay.
So now your mourning could be different. When you lose someone that has been stricken with a disease and it's a process to them dying. Most don't know this, but you go through what we call anticipatory grief.
Mm.
So in the process of them dying and they're about to come to their end of life, you go through a thing called anticipatory grief. And there's stages to that type of grief. And then when they actually pass away, then you go through the normal process of grief, which there are 5 stages to grief. So you go through, the grief starts, like you just said, the day after.
Okay. So the grief starts. So the first is the day after. And what's the first process of grief?
When you are there for a loved one and you're caring for them and they're dying from a disease, like you expressed, you knew your father had this illness, but then toward the end of life, that last year, he went through stages where the disease was taking over and then result the end of life. Well, during those phases, you went through anticipatory grief.
Okay.
And now, when end of life and they're no longer here, now you begin the grief process.
Okay. And during the grief process, what stages do we go through? If someone is listening now, and I hope you go back and listen again and write these things down so you can understand what stage you are in, and also understand if you need some help to get through these processes. I'm a lifelong learner. Felicia is the same type of way, to educate yourself. We can pray and we can, you know, not want to talk about it and think it'll go away, but it doesn't change the reality of what you're dealing with. So as we are in these stages of grief, what are those different stages stages of grief, Felicia?
There are 5 stages of grief. But then also I want you to understand that there's a process of mourning. Mm. There's 5 stages of grief, which is denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and we have to travel through those to get to the last stage, which is acceptance.
Okay.
But then mourning is how am I coping with the loss.
So mourning is how you cope with it. Got it.
The way you're coping with the loss.
Okay.
And there are phases to mourning as well. So what we tend to do, and when you just mentioned the reality, how do we get stuck in the grief process is we don't want to give up reality that our loved one is gone.
Yes, yes.
And you can get stuck in the phases of grief and how you cope, which is mourning. You can get stuck in those phases as well. Then that's when complicated grief can form. And that's when mental health disorders can come about.
Wow.
So sometimes we have to be educated to know, okay, this is what I'm feeling and this is why. You know, that's why promoting going to see a trained counselor or
yes.
therapist that can help you identify where you're at
yes.
is something that is a healthy way of grieving.
A healthy way.
That's why you won't be grieving wrong, you grieve long.
I like what you said, a healthy way. And that is one of the things that I really wanted to emphasize in our topic today, the morning after. And we're talking with Felicia Bates, who is a licensed social worker. But more than that, she has a compassionate heart and a call to do more than just do her job. You go over and beyond to help people to understand what they're dealing with and why they are dealing with it. And Felicia, if someone is listening to us today and they have lost a loved one and they are having a difficult time dealing with that loss, it could be a child, it could be they could have lost someone to COVID-19, maybe they lost a child in a murder. Here we are, we are just hearing on the news. So today is March the 23rd, and yesterday there was another mass shooting in Boulder, Colorado. Rest in peace to the 10 people that lost their lives there in Boulder. So people are dealing with grief and loss all over the world. Could you take a moment and share what should they do, or if they are in a state of grief at this time and they don't know what to do?
In my experience, I formed a philosophy. My philosophy is process your grief with the 3 S's. Everyone has a story, and all stories are valid. It should be validated. Embrace your story, and you must get to the point where you can share that story, where you won't get stuck. But everyone have a story. That's the first S. To get to the second S, which would be steps, this is going through the grief process, knowing that grief is a real thing, that my brain is saying, no, I don't want this. I can't believe this. My brain is in shock. There's a chemical that has been released to say, wait, I lost what? And whatever that loss is, that's what your brain is saying. So now I'm feeling something. And how do I cope? How am I going to mourn with this? So in the steps, you have to give yourself permission to go through the process.
That's
accept
good.
That I have to walk this step to get to the end of grief, which is acceptance.
That's good.
And that's my third S, which is that's the success. If I can get to acceptance, when acceptance comes, it's a place where it is not that I don't no longer feel the pain of the loss. However, we will not resist the reality of our situation. Mm-hmm. We're not struggling to make something different in my mind to say, oh, this didn't happen. They're coming through the door. So when we come to acceptance, it doesn't mean that I'll no longer miss them. I'll no longer be sad. I'll no longer experience loss or feel the loss. But I accept that the reality is that they are gone.
Yes.
So
yes.
I would encourage someone to embrace that. And if you are struggling, speak. You know, you could Google, how do I find a grief counselor
yes.
or therapy
yes.
to embrace that. And, you know, sometimes going to your church, they might have some resources for you and being trained and getting with a professional that can help you understand this is what you're at and let me help you walk your journey out.
Yes, that was amazing, Felicia. Thank you so much for taking the time to have this wonderful conversation with us, because the timing is perfect. And I can see and hear, as you said, with all my senses, you can be 5 years out, 2 years out from a situation and still feel it. I'll never forget you were there for me when a young lady I was close to was diagnosed with cancer. And in my job here as a pastor's wife, I was her spiritual advisor. And she brought her x-rays to me and she said the cancer was back. And she asked me to walk her through the process. And I was a young woman that I hyperventilated at my first funeral when I was 19. And marrying a pastor, I said, oh, I can't do funerals. And to have someone walk in my office and ask me to walk them through the process. And as we went through that process together, and when she was assigned to a hospice center, that's how awesome God is. It was the hospice center where you worked at. And as we got closer and closer to that time, and on the actual evening, it was actually on October 31st, 2 years ago, and being in that room and watching and staying strong in my role and facilitating my role and watching her take her first breath and making sure her family was okay, and you know, her friends were okay and everyone around her was okay. And I remember walking out that door, and that's when I finally took my first breath, and you were right there. And that's when the tears flowed and I couldn't talk, and it just, you gave me permission to feel, and I will never forget that.
Yes, I remember that was an amazing experience to be there for her end of life.
Yeah.
And it was such a spiritual moment.
Yes, it was.
And being that support, and I recall being out in the hall and just saying to you, wait a minute, no, you're not First Lady right now.
Right.
You're Alicia.
Yes.
And you can feel, you could release whatever you need to release in this moment, because we are given assignments. And I share with loved ones, sometimes they feel like they're not strong enough and don't understand that the assignment. But I think that is an amazing gift to be able to be there for someone and love them past your own self.
It definitely
feel like
is.
I'm not strong, but I can love you enough.
Yes.
Because this is a very hard thing to do.
Yes.
But I'm going to love you past myself.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Love you past myself. So thank you so much. Please tell the girls thank you for letting me borrow their mommy. Tell my boy thank you so much for letting me. Well, but you know, he's 19, so he got his own thing going on, I'm sure. But I truly appreciate you. And remember, those of you that are listening to the podcast, Felicia said, we have permission to feel. So make sure you Google the aspects of grief, how you can receive support. In addition, please send us an email or go to our Facebook page, aramseyconsulting@gmail.com. Share your story, or maybe you're saying, I don't even know how to Google something. We want to do our best to link you to resources as well. Thank you again, Felicia. God bless you. And I look forward to calling you Dr. Felicia Bates.
Well, thank you. It sounds good to my ears, and I receive. But thank you again for allowing this to be a platform on your podcast. And I hope that someone can grab something and allow their healing process to take place within their grief.
Wonderful. Well, you have a good evening, and I truly appreciate you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for joining me for today's She Words. If you enjoyed our time together, make sure you invite someone to tune in. Remember, God is love, and choose to let that love shine through you today. Have an amazing, make the most of this moment day.